We've been entrusted with a lot of treasure here at Advent. Amen. Children, youth, college students, scouts, we have a lot of things for which to be thankful. Well, this morning I just want to start with a question. Have any of you ever run into anybody who says that life is too long? You ever run into anybody who said that? No, I mean, we run into people all the time who say that life's too short, but I have never run into anybody who espouses the opinion that life is too long. In fact, I would venture to say that probably all of us, if we had the choice, and we knew that we would enjoy a good quality of life, I would venture to say that almost all of us would say that we'd like to keep right on going, living this life for about as long as we can, right? None of us are in any hurry to check out. And I think that's pretty universal. A couple of weeks ago, somebody shared with me a video snippet from a TED Talk. And the theme of it was what it takes to live to 100 years old and beyond. And when I saw the title of it, I thought, like, I know what this is going to say. This is going to be old news. It's eat right, exercise, have routine physicals. I mean, we all know the things that contribute to a long life, right? And then I watched this video. And I was surprised. And I want to share this snippet with you this morning. So this is from a TED Talk by someone named Susan Pinker.
So what does it take to live to 100 or beyond? As you will see, the answer is not what we expect. Julianne Holt Lunstead is a researcher at Brigham Young University, and she addressed this very question in a series of studies of tens of thousands of middle-aged people, and she looked at every aspect of their lifestyle, their diet, their exercise, their marital status, how often they went to the doctor, whether they smoked or drank, etc. She recorded all of this, and then she and her colleagues sat tight and waited for 7 years to see who would still be breathing. And of the people left standing, what reduced their chances of dying the most? That was her question. So let's now look at her data in summary, going from the least powerful predictor to the strongest. Whether you're lean or overweight, you can stop feeling guilty about this because it's only in third place. How much exercise you get is next, still only a moderate predictor. Does anybody here know that having a flu vaccine protects you more than doing exercise? And getting towards the top predictors are two features of your social life. First, your close relationships. These are the people that you can call on for a loan if you need money suddenly, who will call the doctor if you're not feeling well, or who will take you to the hospital, or who will sit with you if you're having an existential crisis, if you're in despair. Those people, that little clutch of people are a strong predictor, if you have them, of how long you'll live. And then something that surprised me, something that's called social integration. This means how much you interact with people as you move through your day. How many people do you talk to? And these mean both your weak and your strong bonds. So not just the people you're really close to who mean a lot to you, but like, do you talk to the guy who every day makes you your coffee? Do you talk to the postman? Do you talk to the woman who walks by your house every day with her dog? Do you play bridge or poker or have a book club? Those interactions are one of the strongest predictors of how long you live.
Does that surprise you? I'll be honest, it surprised me. In fact, if you'd allowed me to rank those, I probably would have turned that thing up on its head, and I would have certainly put diet and exercise at the top, and I would have put the social interactions closer to the bottom. And you should go watch the entire talk, because one of the other things she says is that in the developed world everywhere, women live 6 to 8 years longer than men. That's probably no surprise to you, but there is one place in the world where that's not true. It's this little island in the Mediterranean Sea, Sardinia. And there in Sardinia, not only do men live as long as women, but there are 6 times as many 100-year-olds on that island than there are on the mainland of Italy. There are 10 times as many 100-year-olds on that little island than there are in the entire continent of North America. And from her research, Susan Pinker has determined that the reason is because on this little island, they place such a high value on relationships. They place such a high value on face-to-face social interaction. In other words, everybody on that island knows that they are there for each other, that they have each other's backs. And that's important. And with that, we'll turn to our scripture lesson, which comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And I'll begin reading at verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, it's a matter of life and death. Can you do that for me? It's a matter of life and death. 2 weeks ago, I was walking from this building down the hill to the education building for staff meeting, and several other staff members had already made that trip down, and so I was walking alone. I grabbed my backpack and I grabbed my water bottle and I started out the door, and when I walked out the steps, down the steps to this building into the parking lot, I noticed that there was this delivery truck that looked lost. But because it went on around the backside of the building, I just kept walking, and I made my way across the parking lot to the new sidewalk that heads down to the education building. And I was walking along that sidewalk when the delivery truck pulled up beside me and rolled his window down. And so I was walking, the truck was rolling alongside me, and I asked the driver if I could help him, and he said, "I'm looking for the office." Now, remember, I'm continuing to walk. The truck is driving alongside me. And so I turn to tell him where the office is. And at that point, the sidewalk took a hard left. But I didn't. And so I stepped off the curb. I rolled out. My backpack went one way. Water bottle went the other. I busted my knee. The driver jumped out of his truck and said, "Are you hurt?" I said, "Mostly just my pride." And I said, "The office is up there." And then I picked up my stuff and went on in the building. Now, I wondered if I would have fallen if I had walked down there with everybody else. I wondered if I'd caught up to him and we all traveled down there together and we made that path. I wondered if I would fall. Now, maybe I would have, maybe I wouldn't, because what I know is that I was preoccupied by the driver, and I was looking at him. I was trying to talk to him. So I didn't see it coming. The sidewalk was ending, but I didn't see it coming. And I wonder if I would have, if there were other people who were walking alongside me. I wonder if they would have prevented me from walking right off the end of the sidewalk. But I'll never know, because I was alone. The author of Ecclesiastes has a warning for us about being alone. He has a warning for us about living in isolation. This entire passage is about the power of community, the power of relationships, the great gift of not being alone. And as we talked about last Sunday, we are created for community. Remember, we looked back at the creation story in Genesis and how when God created Adam, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so he created Adam for companion. I mean, created Eve for companionship and to be a friend along the journey. We're created for community. And then the author of Ecclesiastes echoes that sentiment when he says, it's not good. Two people are, in verse 9, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And you know this to be true, right? No matter what kind of work you're doing, it's always easier if you have help. If somebody comes alongside you and works alongside you, many hands make light work. We know this, right? Two people can help each other to succeed. And then verse 10 goes on to say, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Now here's the thing. Not all falls are literal. Not all falls are when the sidewalk runs out. There are other types of falls too. We all have crashes and collisions and falls. In fact, every single one of us is either recovering from a fall or headed toward a fall. Because life comes at us fast. And we never know what exactly tomorrow is going to hold. If falls are inevitable. Crises, pain, times of heartbreak. All of these things are unavoidable in this life. And when we hit those times, and when our hearts are breaking, and when we're experiencing deep loss and grief, if we don't have somebody to help pick us back up and help us to pick up the pieces, the author of Ecclesiastes says we're in real trouble. We need each other. Verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The reason I chose to use the New Living Translation today is because of that verse and how it renders that verse. I mean, one person can be attacked, one person can get jumped and then defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. I love that. Why would you stand back to back with somebody? Well, so nobody can sneak up on you. So that no attacker can catch you off guard or catch you from the blind side. You stand back to back at all times. And if you do that, somebody is going to see it coming, right? You might not see it coming, but the one who's standing back to back with you will see it coming. And that's the beauty of community. Whether it is a fall or whether it is an attack, when we are in community, somebody can see it coming. Did you know that there are times in your life when you won't see it coming? Because you could be talking to a delivery truck driver, and that keeps you from seeing it coming. It could be something else. You could be distracted by someone or something else, maybe because you're too close to it. Maybe because you have blinders on. Or maybe because you have developed habits and those habits develop so slowly and subtly that sometimes it's really hard to see it coming. But if you're in community with other people, somebody will see it coming. In community, people will notice how she talks about him. In community, somebody will notice how he talks to her. In community, somebody will notice how your spending habits have all of a sudden changed and you've thrown caution to the wind. Or in community, somebody will notice that you have all of a sudden become withdrawn and turned inward to yourself and you've got really quiet. And if you're in the right kind of community, not only will those people see it coming, but they will love you enough to be there to shoot a flare off in the air and wave a warning sign, and they will be there for you. And if need be, they'll be there to help pick you up in the fall. They'll help you pick up the pieces. They'll pray for you. They'll encourage you. They'll support you. I promise the author of Ecclesiastes is right. Community is better than isolation. Because a threefold cord, a triple braided cord, is not easily broken. That's why we spent 2 weeks talking about life groups. Now, I know that last week the weather was bad and some of you didn't catch that. But we've dedicated 2 weeks to life groups because they are so important, because community is so vital. And life groups offer us community with brothers and sisters who are trying to live their faith too. And we can be there for each other. We can pray for each other, encourage, support, search scripture together. And we can stand back to back so that somebody sees it coming. And that's why we say around here all the time that growth happens in Well, maybe that's why some of us say, but maybe I caught you off guard, but growth happens in groups. This week we were in staff meeting. We were talking about this passage from Ecclesiastes, and we were talking about the importance of groups. And Pastor Laura Allen said, have you noticed that in times of crisis, our people who are most connected, our people who are in a group, don't even call us? Because they already have all the support that they need for whatever they're going through. And I started thinking about that, and I realized that's true. Most of the time, for our people who are most connected, for our people who are in groups, we find out whatever happened in their lives after the fact because somebody else told us, not because they did. Because they already have community. They already have support systems. They already have relationships and people who have their backs, people who will reach down and lift them up. And it's because growth happens in groups, but it's also because safety and support happens in those circles. Safety and support happens in circles. We need each other. We need relationships with people. Not this huge group is great. I love worship. I love it so much. I come 3 times every Sunday to gather right here. But this, as important as this is, and it's so important, it doesn't take the place of community. Being in a smaller circle where people know your name, where people know your story, where people know what's going in your life, on in your lives, because safety and support happens in those circles. But here's my warning. Please don't wait until something happens in your life to then try to build community. Because at that point, it's probably too late. You already need it. And community takes time to develop. That's why Andy Stanley says, community is like retirement savings. You have to build it now so it's there when you need it. Community is like retirement savings. You have to build it now so it'll be there when you need it. Don't wait until you get that bad diagnosis from the doctor. Don't wait until your teenager rebels. Don't wait until you don't know what else to do. Or don't wait until you lose your job or your marriage crumbles. Develop your circle now so that it will be there when you need it most. Because it takes time to develop those relationships and to go deep with each other. But it's worth it because safety and support happens in circles. Well, today I started off by showing you a clip from Susan Pinker's TED Talk. And if you go back, and I encourage you to go on YouTube and watch the whole thing, because she throws out all kinds of research, and the science proves that close relationships and social integration, daily social interactions, are crucial for living a long physical life. If you want to live to 100 and beyond, then you got to really concentrate on those relationships, because those are the things that are the strongest predictors about whether or not you get to 100. And it's not just our physical lives. When it comes to our spiritual lives, I'm telling you that groups are a matter of life and death. And I believe so strongly in this that, again this week, we're going to have a very practical application of the sermon. For those of you who weren't here last week, I said, you know, sometimes we hear a sermon and we think, well, that's great, but I don't really know what to do with it. Today, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do with it. So after the service is over, in the room to my left and your right, there are people and tables set up, and they are ready to help you find a group. In fact, we started 5 brand new groups for those of you who aren't in groups, because sometimes it's hard to walk into a group that's already existing because people know each other and they already have tight bonds. But in these new groups, you can walk in on a level playing field with everybody else. And if you can't find a group that feels like it'd be a right fit for you that from the new groups, then we have a lot of existing groups, and we'll help you integrate into those. We'll even help you start your own group if you'd like to lead one. We don't have too many takers for that, but we'd love to have some. So that's the practical. If you're not in a group, your practical application is to walk into this room and sign up for one. And I know you're busy. And I know you don't have time. But I don't think you have time not to be in one. It's so important. And I know that you might be intimidated because you think you don't know enough about the Bible, but I promise, I know these people and they don't either. So if you're not in a group, please consider being in a group. And if you are in a group, here's your practical application. If you are in a group, the best way to get a new person involved is for your personal invitation. If you reach out and you invite somebody because you know that growth happens in groups and you know that safety and support happens in these circles, then reach out to somebody you love and invite them to be a part of it too. Because on this faith journey, relationships, community, having a group, it's a matter of life and death. And all God's people said,